Good afternoon. I'm Mark Allen with Gaper.io, and I'm here today with Jesse Lindsley, the founder and CEO of Thrust Interactive. Good afternoon, Jesse. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us today. So to start with, can you share a brief background of yourself and your work experience?
Yeah. So let's see. I'm an industrial engineer that graduated and didn't want to be an industrial engineer back in the 90s. And I taught myself programming and started with an internet service provider. So back in the dial-up days. And so I parlayed that into a big programming ERP implementation system integrator career, and learned what I didn't want to do, which was to work on big enterprise system implementations. And so when I got picked up by a .com in the late 90s, we raised $90 million to sell textbooks online. In that startup thing, I was in my 20s. I got to go to kind of right to the top of leadership based on not my experience, but my work ethic. I was like, I'm hooked. So I was hooked. I've been hooked to startups and into startups and into direct-to-consumer technology since the 90s. And so I started a game development company, a game development studio in 2004. I'm a backgammon dominoes player, and I wanted to play those games online for money. And so that's how I got into the game business. And then the laws changed in 06, making it illegal for me to take players in the US, play games for money, these kind of games for skill or any kind of gambling games. And so I pivoted into running an agency, making games for others and licensing technology to others, and kind of rebranded to be Thrust Interactive in 2008. But I've been running a company since 2004, and we make games for others, games and apps, got into the mobile business in about 2008. So we've launched about 200 products. And I have found that working with large companies and agencies didn't really fuel my soul. And so I started working with startups in about 2012. And these days, it's really primarily what we do. We do joint ventures. It's called a venture studio model. I did it before I knew that that's what it was called. And just recently, we started doing it with large corporations that have some sort of corporate development. And so we're doing actually some joint ventures with large institutions, which has been really interesting. Pros and cons for that kind of work. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we're definitely mission-based and help a lot of startups in healthcare, which is important to us, and education, but still entrenched in, I would call it entertainment, but it's more the snacky kind. And that kind of helps inform and makes our education products better or more engaging, and makes our healthcare products more entertaining and engaging as well.
Very cool. And then interestingly enough, my son, whose middle name is Jesse, got a degree in mechanical engineering, did it, and then decided he didn't want to be a mechanical engineer and went into software development too.
So hilarious. So I have a minor by just the classes that I took in mechanical engineering, and I didn't want to be that either.
Yeah. Yeah. He did it for about a year, I think. And he's like, I don't want to do this. So tell us about Thrust Interactive. You've touched on it, but what is it that you really do, and who do you do it for, right?
Yeah, so it is it's a lens that we look through around consumer, I would say, behavior and consumer engagement. And so we kind of have we call it a game science-based approach, where we're thinking about what's in it for the consumer. We may want to educate them, we may want to change their behavior, but that's kind of an outcome-based approach. We kind of take a daily engagement type approach. And so because we're kind of in this snacky thing, we don't really want, we're not Facebook where we want you to be there all day. We're not an immersive, console game where we want you to play for hours. It's really about how can we make it, make impactful experiences that are short and useful. And kinds of people that move towards us, and the problems that they are trying to solve are really all over the place. And so I love that. People ask me from running a product and having my own company and having my own customers who are users or players, to helping others and supporting other founders, or just kind of running an agency, right? They're like, God, I bet you hate that, right? Like dealing with clients and things like that. And I just have enjoyed it because I get to meet people that are passionate about something with domain expertise that now, if I didn't really care what they were doing, or I thought what they were doing wasn't really interesting, or maybe not ethical, or maybe I just thought they were in it for the money, I probably wouldn't be drawn to those people. But I get to kind of have this barometer of, this is something interesting to me, and I get to partner with this person. Like, we make educational games. We're not educators. We make healthcare games. We're not, you know, we're not in the industry. But so that's kind of that, we have this innovation through collaboration approach, and kind of come at it from, we would have no business doing this, but we can actually do good by using what we're great at. And so that that kind of fuels us. And that's the wind that kind of keeps us going. And that's why I like every day that I, you know, I'm not just this insular thing, that I get to be, you know, I get to be talking to people and solving problems that maybe I wasn't even aware of.
Yeah, very cool. And it's kind of like the opposite of The Social Dilemma, if you've seen that documentary. Right.
Very much so. I was very disturbed by The Social Dilemma, and it makes sense. And so, yeah, I had a conversation with somebody today that was a startup looking at their monetization strategy, and they were looking at an advertising model. And I was just like, you know, for you guys being mission-based, trying to accomplish some really neat things in politics, I would caution you against that advertising approach. So it just, yeah, it definitely has that impacted me, and I can see how it's a slippery slope. Mm-hmm. And so it's not like you sell your soul and it doesn't happen overnight. It's just kind of a decaying of your soul over, right. You know.
Yeah. I mean, it just happens slowly, right? It didn't.
Yeah. Right? You don't even notice.
Yeah, I agree. So, I mean, COVID hit about a year ago. A year ago today is the anniversary of Stay in Place. Did that have any real effect on you or your customers?
Yeah. So, you know, they say time flies when you're having fun. I feel like time has flown, and I definitely, well, I guess we, you know, it hasn't been fun, but we haven't been, you know, in mourning. And so it hit us hard. We had four projects that were super cool that we lost, I mean, immediately. So one was in horse shows, make fantasy sports for horse shows, which was super fun. Kind of like that saying, niches get riches. I mean, that is like, we know where those people are, and we were doing one breed at a time. And I mean, I found myself sitting, you know, going to horse shows and using this app with a community that I wasn't aware of. And, but the founder, you know, was a big deal in the Arabian horse world. So we were tackling the Arabian horses. So anyways, that project died overnight. We were doing kind of an engagement educational experience in children's hospitals completely that got killed. We had another installation that was launching in a children's museum. Got killed, you know, so it were these, you know, it was just kind of like just overnight. And so, yeah, we had to retool, and we didn't retool for very long, at least as far as like, we stopped feeling sorry for ourselves, and we started looking for, not looking, but proactively pitching. And so we ended up collaborating with AT&T and their innovation arm, AT&T Foundry, on a building a prototype back when it first started. It was probably the end of March. Yeah, so, you know, like a week in or 10 days in, we were saying, how could we use what we're good at, which is engagement, and work with somebody like AT&T on gamifying social distancing. And so think of it like Fitbit for social distancing. And so for 8 weeks, we built a prototype that as we were building it, Google and Apple were kind of launching their contact tracing platform. And they were saying that, hey, there's some technology issues that we don't talk well to each other, which we had found out, but we were able to overcome those. And basically throughout the day, we could tell you, this is how many people you came within 30 feet of. And so these are how many people you came 0 to 6 feet, 6 to 12 feet, and 12 to 24 feet. So kind of like good, not so good. And you're in the clear. And so just like how you track steps, you know, some people could be doing it actively and some might do it passively and, you know, look at the end of the week or look at your family stats. And a really neat thing that eventually didn't get to see the light of day for a myriad of reasons. You know, Apple and Google helped reject our solution. AT&T decided not to take it to market for fear of being kind of associating or being associated with tracking people, which we weren't, but then that perception of tracking people. And so, but we're actually now using, we've actually kind of parlayed that into something else, you know, kind of different technology, but using kind of that experience. And so, yeah, we're we're back on our feet a year later, super busy working on three or four really interesting projects, two that will launch soon that we've been working on for the last 6 months. And yeah, so the team is half the size we were when COVID hit, and that's never fun. Mm-hmm. We're busy and we're expanding. We're using some partner teams to help us execute on some of these things. And we're trying to grow very pragmatically. And it never feels good that, you know, that when things, when the rug gets taken out from under you, and not that it would again anytime soon, but we're going to be very cautious and grow in a very pragmatic way. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, that's good. No, it makes sense. I mean, you don't know what's around the corner, right?
And that, right. That, a little uncertain.
I mean, a year ago at this time, everybody was scrambling, and so many people and companies didn't know if they'd be in business in July, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah, so what's interesting about it is because of that, I didn't really go through any layoffs. It was just kind of this writings on the wall, or, you know, things were kind of uncertain. And so I had team members that had, you know, some that hadn't been with me that long, maybe a year, 2 years, that had left large companies and kind of come to a smaller one and loved what they were doing and the quality of life, but saw the advantage. Mm-hmm. During this time to go back to where they came from and be in a more stable environment. And I was just, it was devastating at the time, but also understandable. And I think they did make the right decision. And so it wasn't like I had to, you know, Black Friday or something like that, which has happened to me in the past. And so this was kind of an attrition, and people started to, you know, we told everybody, hey, start interviewing, right? And so anytime you do that, there's going to be attrition, and you're going to lose some folks that you didn't want to lose. But I now have an amazing smaller team, tight knit, and there's a silver lining in it, and we have not we've not felt sorry for ourselves for 1 second.
Well, good. And what do you see about the future of Thrust Interactive? You said you're going to grow pragmatically, which generally means slowly. And what do you think about, you know, in general, how a company is going to grow? Do you think companies are going to embrace remote work, which is something I know you already do?
Yes. So, you know, one of the things that I talked about is there is this what's called a venture studio model where you are incubating and supporting startups. And we have our own flavor of it. We started doing it in 2012. So we have got 9 years of experience of, you know, doing it. You know, we've made lots of mistakes. But I think this gave us the opportunity to really fine tune our messaging and tell that story. And so we're kind of coming out of this as a, hey, we also do this thing on the side here to, you know what, Thrust at the end of the day is a venture studio, and these are the stories. And so we're going to be launching in the next 60 days, two of those companies. And right now we're working on two others that are amazing joint ventures, amazing products that we've incubated and technology and founders. And so I think that's the future. And so we'll still do services and agency work, but we'll be able to tell a story that hopefully we have those kinds of folks moving towards us, where we're doing less selling and more picking of the kinds of things that we want to do, and not being all things to all people. You know, we'll have to say no, right? Mm-hmm. We're saying no right now to a couple, and so you know, I went through some years where I didn't say no to anybody, because I wanted to grow. And so that's not the desired approach at this point. And so how it's affected us has been really interesting. So we had an office in downtown Atlanta for I guess it was 10 years, and went virtual coming up on 7 years. And so we had experienced a lot of the things that companies who were forced to go virtual experienced. And so there were things that we were good at. You know, we had an amazing internship program when we had an office. I mean, we get inundated, we're a game company, right? We get inundated by, students, and we just had a great pipeline for finding talent, finding the best and the brightest. And when we went virtual, that we just couldn't support that model. And so, then we even had somebody who was with us when we were had an office and then left and then wanted to come back, and we were virtual at that time. And that was a neat story to have somebody actually come back to you. And then it didn't work out. Mm. He was like, you know what, this virtual thing is not for me. And so, that's something that we found ourselves kind of attracting more senior folks who have a family, have kids, quality of life is important. I now have two kids. And so it is kind of, you become, you know, my president COO has three kids now. And, you know, I remember when we started this, we were living in the city as bachelors. And, you know, so we've kind of grown and as an organization and as people. And so we're virtual, but we only recruit in Georgia. We tend to only recruit in Atlanta. And that allows us to get together. We're part of an incubator here. So we have a small office and we can get together in person. And so, but that hasn't happened in a year. I literally had my first lunch with our creative strategist last week. And so, you know, it's so funny, like we have this lunch and we're just there. It was my first outside sales meeting and it was in his neighborhood. And I was like, hey, let's get together for lunch. And we had so much fun. Like we just ideated and we were just taking notes and like, we just need to do this more often. Like we just weren't taking advantage of, I think, some of that stuff that we used to do in person. So it is one of those things that we feel like now people are more, you don't have to apologize for not having an office. They're right. More apt to, be okay with just the virtual. But I also had a client that wanted to come down for, we had kicked off a project. We've been working together for 9 months and they're like, all right, let's meet in person. And it was something that was like, it was really 9 months too late, not too late, but you know, 9 months in the making. I wish we had done this earlier. So I still think there'll be things that'll happen they'll need to happen in person. But yeah, it's not necessary. I will add one thing. We heard people talking about Zoom fatigue. And so there was this Zoom thing, right? And then everybody's like, oh, I got Zoom fatigue. And I was like, well, one of the things that we learned early on was that cameras, turning your camera on needs to be optional. And so, you know, I do a lot of lunch club meetings and you know, at some of my lunch club meetings, which is a service where it kind of matches you up with people random strangers, but that are based on an algorithm. I've met some amazing people. So they got a great algorithm, right? But some of those calls that I've had have just been, you know, no camera or just the phone for whatever reason. And those connections haven't been as good as the ones that I get to have a face-to-face with, right? It's amazing how that works. But making a team turn their camera on when you're doing 9 a.m. daily stand-ups and, you know, multiple times during the day, that would bring on Zoom fatigue a lot quicker. And so we have made that optional. And so when somebody wants to turn on the camera, it's like, oh, it's good to see you. Mm-hmm. But it's something you wanted to do. And so that's one of the pieces of advice that I got to share with people who are just doing this all the time now. And I've been doing it for five, six years.
Oh, very cool. And it's interesting. I don't know if you know, like in the Bay Area, we go to Orange State tomorrow. So things are really starting to open up here. So now restaurants can go to 50% capacity.
Yeah, well, so I'm in Georgia and I think we never stopped, right? Yeah. So it's just depending where you go. It's been one of those states. I also live outside of the city and I feel like I'm in a bubble. I feel like nobody here is wearing a mask every city has been different. It's been funny, but it's been interesting, I'll just say, to watch.
Yes.
What a wild ride this has been.
Yeah, I would agree. It's amazing that they can politicize a kind of pandemic.
Yeah. Right.
We won't go into that, right?
So, right. Let's not.
Yeah. Well, Jesse, I want to thank you for your time today. I wish you the best of luck. It sounds like you guys are on your way back up and it's going to be a great 2021 and great future. So
absolutely.
Best of luck.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.